Welcome back to the Thinking Crypto Podcast, your home for cryptocurrency news and interviews. If you're new here, please hit that subscribe button as well as the thumbs up button and leave a comment below. If you're listening on a podcast platform such as Apple, Spotify, or Google, please leave a five-star rating. This content is brought to you by Uphold, which makes crypto investing easy. I've been using Uphold since 2017. They have 10 plus million users, 200 plus cryptocurrencies, and are available in 150 countries. You can buy, sell, trade, and earn cryptocurrencies on Uphold. If you'd like to learn more, please visit the link in the description. All right, my friends, some news that will get your blood boiling, because it certainly got my blood boiling earlier today. Maxine Waters and the U.S. Committee of Financial Services Twitter accounts tweeted out and they tagged Sam Bankman-Fried. They said, "Sam Bankman-Fried, SBF, we appreciate that you've been candid in your discussions about what happened at FTX. Your willingness to talk to the public will help the company's customers, investors, and others. To that end, we would welcome your participation in our hearing on the 13th. Speaking of the December 13th, this is ridiculous. Now they're kissing his ass, saying, "Oh, please, Sam, come join us. We feel so sorry for you. We're so sad for you. You poor guy, you only have $100,000 left in your bank account. Oh, you poor child, come, let us give you a hug." I'm sure Maxine Waters is going to blow a kiss at Sam Bankman-Fried again. Many of you remember that photo, that video clip when he testified before Congress. You know, after the hearing, she blew him a kiss. What the hell is going on here? And then just recently, when he spoke at the New York Times event on Wednesday of this week, they gave him a round of applause at the beginning. I mean, this is absurd. This is asinine. And I bring up the fact that if you and I did what Sam Bankman-Fried did, we would be sitting in jail right now. Even Bernie Madoff, when he did what he did, I think we've all seen the videos of reporters pushing him and hounding him, and he couldn't even walk down the street, right? And Sam Bankman-Fried is sitting in his $30 million penthouse in the Bahamas. Unbelievable. And a lot of people are upset by this tweet, guys, because it's just coddling him. It's just saying, "Sam, oh, you poor child. Oh, come sit with us. You know, it's okay. Don't worry about it. We appreciate how candid you've been," while he's lying through his freaking teeth, right? It's unbelievable what's happening. And then you just layer in the puff pieces from the mainstream media. But I think we all know what's going on here, and I tweeted about it. I said, "The fix is in. Sam Bankman-Fried's parents' political connections and his political donations are buying him the easy way out. It's pay to play. Hopefully, blockchain can help bring power back to the people." So I think we clearly see what's happening here, right? Once again, you put any average Joe on the street, you and I, to go do this and lose and steal people's money and commit fraud and lose billions of dollars, and we wouldn't be walking around, my friends. We would not be walking around. We would be in jail, and we would be getting destroyed by a lot of these politicians. But notice, you know, they're coddling him. It's pathetic, and I can't believe, you know, how bad things have gotten. You know, years ago, you some of these things would happen behind the scenes. You wouldn't really see it. But now they're tweeting about it. It's on social media. It's just sickening. And it's sad that that's what our democracy has come to. And my only hope, as I tweeted, is that blockchain crypto can help bring some of that balance of power back with regards to maybe campaign donations and things along those lines, that it's on the blockchain. We can go verify who did what, who sent what funds, and we can hold more of these folks accountable. But a lot of people were upset by this. If you look at the comment section of this tweet, it's a lot of vitriol and just heat coming back at Maxine Waters. And Ryan Selkis, you know, he kind of summed it up really well. He's the founder of Messari Crypto. I've interviewed him on the channel. He said, "If Sam walks out of this hearing," and he retweeted Maxine Waters, "in handcuffs, it will be worth it. If not, it's another sign of institutional rot, and plus government rot too, if you want to put it that way. But he's absolutely right here. So really, really unbelievable that this is going down. Now, Senator Pat Toomey, who I've actually been trying to get an interview with, and he was on CNBC, and you know, he addressed a lot of the FTX situation and how some of the members of Congress are painting the entire crypto industry and market with a broad brush, trying to say the entire ecosystem is bad or it's bad actors. But he really brings the balance, and he's well spoken. And I'm not going to play the whole clip because it's kind of long, but I'll give a quote of what he had to say. I have colleagues who want to blame and paint the entire ecosystem with one broad brush. This is about outrageous behavior of an individual, but has nothing to do with the underlying asset. Absolutely. This is Sam Bankman-Fried committing fraud. What he did had nothing to do specifically with crypto. He could have been running another financial firm, a hedge fund, or whatever it is, and trading something else outside of crypto. He could have commingled funds, right? And he could have taken the funds off the exchange, whether it be selling stocks or equities or whatever it is, and then move it to his family office, which is Alameda Research. So the same thing could have happened, right? So he's just a bad actor. And he was obviously doing it on FTX.com, which was in the Bahamas. And in FTX US, he was not doing that, right? Because that's in the United States. But obviously, FTX US is connected to the parent company, which is FTX.com. So as FTX.com had its downfall, it pulled FTX US with it. So I really appreciate Senator Toomey going on TV and setting the record straight here. It's important to have these folks who understand and are not going to do sensationalism and try to paint the crypto industry with a broad brush. Like if you had Elizabeth Warren, she would be saying, you see, this crypto stuff is bad. It's detrimental to the entire financial markets and yada, yada. It's the Armageddon. This crypto stuff is from the devil. You know, she would go on that type of nonsense rant. But, thank goodness there's level-headed people in the government. So we'll have to wait and see how these other hearings play out and what regulations follow them. Now, we got a big update from the SEC Ripple lawsuit, guys. So it's Stuart Alderotti, general counsel at Ripple. He retweeted James K. Filan, who tweeted out, Ripple has filed its redacted reply to the SEC's opposition to Ripple's motion for summary judgment. Stewart said, Ripple's reply brief is public. You can view it here. He provided a link. He said, this is our final submission where we ask the court to grant judgment in our favor. After two long years, Ripple is proud of the defense we've mounted on behalf of the entire crypto industry. We have always played it straight with the court. Can't say the same for our adversary. Absolutely right. You know, the SEC has been acting shady. Their lawyers acting like garbage, lying, being hypocritical, even the judge calling them out, saying they're being hypocritical, right? We've seen it time and time again. And it's unbelievable that that's a government agency doing that, right? Who's supposed to have integrity, who's supposed to hold the highest standard, and yet they're lying, they're being hypocritical. It's disgusting, and they should be ashamed of themselves. And as Stuart clearly pointed out, this is for the entire crypto industry. As I mentioned in my podcast yesterday, and we talked about Ethereum being a security because CFTC chair Rostin Benham said only Bitcoin is a commodity. So Ethereum and a lot of other altcoins, the majority of altcoins, are going to be in trouble. So we need Ripple to win here to kind of expose the chink in the SEC's armor here, because they are corrupted, they are lying, and they have not provided the clarity that we need. Commissioner Hester Peirce has been the only one fighting here. She's provided her guidelines saying, hey, why don't we do a sandbox, right? Bring these companies in, let them operate in the sandbox where we monitor it. If they're not decentralized, they will eventually get there, and we'll put together a timeline and a path for them. Gary Gensler doesn't want to do that because he wants to slow crypto down. He would rather go out and do regulation by enforcement, which is pathetic. And his big claim to fame this year was, oh, I caught Kim Kardashian promoting this coin. Yay. But he completely ignored FTX, even though Sam Bankman-Fried and the FTX officials were in his office. He did not go after Celsius and Voyager and Terra Luna, and those were the major collapses that lost billions of dollars for investors. Yet, you know, Kim Kardashian, he protected us from Kim Kardashian. Oh no. So this is what we're dealing with here. It's pathetic. And look, I'm not going to read the entire document here, but, you know, I'll call out some of the, you know, highlights here that's in the table of contents, such as the SEC has failed to prove the existence of any investment contracts governing defendants. Whoops, looks like I clicked through too fast there. Defendants' offers and sales of XRP. Another one is defendants' XRP transactions were not offers and sales of investment contracts under the Howey test. And it goes on and on. So really good stuff here. This is important for the entire crypto market because Ripple wins here, my friends. The folks at Cardano, the folks at Algorand and wherever else can look at this blueprint and then fight back the SEC and push back on the SEC as well. Now, attorney John Deaton retweeted Stuart Alderotti, and he said, "Let me translate what Ripple's general counsel is tactfully saying. In the 2 years that Ripple has defended itself versus the SEC's massive overreach, with so much on the line, the Ripple team maintained a faithful allegiance to the law, something the judge herself said the SEC lacked." Can you believe that, guys? Once again, a government agency is acting this way. Now, Brad Garlinghouse also retweeted Stewart and said, "I said it on day one. We will aggressively fight to get clear rules for the entire industry in the U.S. Congrats to all of Team Ripple for getting us to this point. Ripple stood strong and withstood the SEC's onslaught. I look forward to being on the right side of justice." So really big statements coming from the folks at Ripple. So let's move ahead here, guys. I got some bullish news coming from Steve Cohen, which is, you know, he heads up one of the biggest investment firms called Point 72. We've covered him in the news here on the channel. And here, there's reports that he is very bullish on crypto and they continue to hire. So we're seeing the institutional players, right? We've been covering it. Yesterday, we covered a big one. They continue to build, they continue to hire, they continue to expand, because they don't care about FTX and the bear market. They know it's all market cycles. They know another bull market's going to come and all this crap that's happening now will be behind us. It sucks for the people who lost their crypto. You know, obviously, I feel for you guys, you know, some of you who lost your money on BlockFi, Celsius, and so forth. It really sucks. But hopefully, you know, we can all position ourselves with self-custody, hardware wallets, and self-hosted wallets where we control our keys. And we are positioned better. And we move our crypto to exchanges only when we need to sell, you know, in that case. So nevertheless, guys, here's the headline. It's a bear market, Point 72, but Point 72 is still hiring crypto pros. The two latest hires who report directly to Point 72's C-suite are the latest indicator that Steve Cohen's firm is continuing to branch out into digital assets. So let me tell you about the two senior professionals here. The multi-strategy hedge and venture fund firm has added two senior professionals to its maturing crypto team, according to two sources familiar with the matter. Michael Ashby, former chief operating officer of outsourced trading firm Meraki Advisors, joined Point 72 this week. Ashby, based in New York, holds the title of Head of Digital Asset Strategy Implementation. And Terrence Schofield, who last spent time at Digital Asset Focus Investment Manager, at Digital Asset Management Focus investment firm Pantera Capital, that's Dan Moorhead, as Chief Operating Officer, started at Point 72's Head of Digital Assets Technology at the end of September. So you're seeing these big time traditional financial folks and so forth joining big firms that are, you know, launching crypto investing firms, expanding their crypto investment funds. It's pretty amazing what's happening. And I see stuff like this and it just makes me so bullish because I just see they're just moving ahead. They're just trucking along. They don't care what the hell is happening, you know, with FTX and Sam Bankman-Fried and so forth. And look, that stuff is relevant right now. But once again, in the grand scheme of things, Doesn't matter. This technology is here. It's going to continue to progress and mature. There's going to be different iterations. It's going to get integration into the economy, and it's going to continue to mature and grow. And the valuations of those assets will grow. And we've seen that with other technologies. It takes years sometimes, right? You look at the internet, you look at the dot-com boom and websites and web technology. It did take some time. And this is why you have to have the macro outlook on it. Now, some not so good news, and CZ Binance CEO tweeted out possible hacks on Anchor, and hey, initial analysis is developer private keys were hacked, and the hacker updated the smart contract to move to a more malicious one, Binance paused withdrawals a few hours ago, also froze about $3 million that the hackers moved to our centralized exchange. But the folks at Anchor, at the Anchor protocol, said it will reimburse the users impacted by the $5 million exploit that occurred on its platform earlier on Friday. So that's great news. I love that, you know, these DeFi protocols or different protocols and so forth, they're like, you know what, we will reimburse users. And I think a lot of these DeFi folks need to figure this out. You know, maybe they need to have like a reserve fund, an insurance fund of tokens or whatever it is locked away, so that if they do get exploits and hacks, they cover the users so they don't lose their funds, right? I think that's important until they get the technology right, because we're seeing a lot of DeFi exploits. And that's not to say DeFi is dead or it's not going to have any life anymore. It's not going to continue to grow. It will. But, you know, it's kind of Web 1.0, guys. And there's a lot of vulnerabilities, a lot of exploits. And we just need iterations. And I think as these hacks are happening, the coders, the developers are making the necessary fixes to move the bar higher, right? So that these things don't happen again. But it's painful, right, to lose money like this. And this is why, personally, I have not done anything with DeFi. I have not done any lending or borrowing and so forth, because I don't want to lose my crypto. It's too big of a risk. Now, some of you may have a higher risk tolerance. Maybe you have a huge bag of certain coins. Maybe you were early adopter of certain coins. And you know, if you put some of that, maybe just 5% or 10% into DeFi and you lose it, it's not a big deal. So, you know, that's fine. That's your risk tolerance, right? For me, you know, I'm trying to maximize as much money as I can. And I've said it many times, I'm here to make money. I am here to make money. I'm passionate about the technology, but make no mistake, I'm making money. I'm going through the bear market cycles, dollar cost averaging, and then selling in the bull markets. And I'm diversifying because I don't know what will be a winner and what won't, right? And we never know what could happen. But I am not playing that game because, you know, I got a family and I'm just trying to grab as much cash as I can. And obviously, I'm still holding some crypto long term. I'm not selling all of it because I believe in the long term future, I have some crypto locked away from my daughter and so forth. I think I've mentioned that before. So I've got my strategy. I'm not messing with DeFi right now, but as it gets better, and there's more guardrails and further iterations, and maybe we're at DeFi 3.0, I will then embark on doing, you know, some borrowing, lending, and earning yield and all that jazz. But right now, not for me. But let me know what you guys think. Maybe, you know, you're messing around with some DeFi stuff. Let me know and leave your thoughts and comments below, and I'll talk to you all later.